Welcome back to the Tag Teamers. I'm Russell Russell. That's Krypton. Let's talk SmackDown. What do you want to start with?
Let's start with the first match of the night. Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa for the WWE Championship inside a steel cage match. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought the match was okay. I mean, the Cody cutter off the cage was a nice little spot, but I don't know. I felt like a lot was missing here. I mean, the Bloodline didn't come out until after the match, which kind of goes against everything that they've been doing for the last few months. I just think that made them look stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I was shocked that they actually didn't get involved at all, honestly, until after the match. I thought they were going to be out there distracting Cody or something just to get him involved, but it was definitely a shock that they weren't out there. I did like some spots in the match. I did like Cody cutter off the cage. I liked the superplex too as well, and Cody's crossbody off the top as well. I thought that, I mean, this is what I like. I love the superplex because there's always those great spots in the matches, no matter who's fighting in it. What else?
I mean, if you like cage matches, over the next few months, I think we got our hands full. I mean, we had this cage match, Drew and Punk in a Hell in a Cell, a little different, but, you know, similar thing. And then we got War Games coming up. I think, honestly, they might be running a risk of running too many cage matches over the next 2 months. There's a chance of, you know, people getting bored or tired of it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So with steel cage matches, Do you prefer people getting pinned, or would you rather an escape happen?
Escape's way more fun to me. I mean, if not, what's the point? You know, I mean, yeah, they use it as a weapon, but I don't know. It just seems kind of lackluster just for the pin. I like the escape in the door or climbing the cage and going over it. That's just what I would prefer, but it's okay, you know, in this situation where they want Cody to pin Solo, I guess.
Right, and therefore it was a clean pin. I mean, they said that he was done with them, and then this was it. It should have been. I don't know why. Cody later on says that he's done with them. He doesn't want to sign. As we're going into the tag team match and at Bad Blood when Roman comes out and everything, says he's done with them and then just appears to not be done with them.
Yeah, right. And I actually think if Cody were to escape the cage, that probably would have suited this story better, because then Solo could have been begging for the match, saying he couldn't actually beat me. You know, like that would have made more sense. But yeah, Cody claiming he's done with the Bloodline and then just signs the contract later on, you know, not really a good explanation there. That seemed kind of stupid to me as well.
Well, speaking of the contract now, we got, obviously, Roman's return. Yeah. Huge pop and everything. I am actually excited to have Roman back, like, once again. And I wasn't a big fan of him when he was holding the belt for that long, for all that time, but it just feels like the show needs him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't really think that this is the best use of him, though. Being in a tag team with Cody, I also don't think this is the best use of Cody. I think the WWE title should be defended on PLEs. You know, this is going to be Cody's second time in a PLE in a tag match. It just doesn't help the reign. And, I mean, we could just do Solo Roman one-on-one right now. I don't need to see the tag match. I'm not super into Cody and Roman teaming up anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me either. I don't understand why they went that way, honestly. The match I would definitely like to see was Solo versus Roman. But what about Jacob Fatu? I mean, I feel like he's got more aura than Solo. Everybody wants to see him.
I don't think that's saying a whole lot, because I don't think Solo's got any aura.
Solo's aura is not good.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the match that they want to build more. Like, you know, we got the face-off, the stare-down with Jacob Fatu and Roman, and they were really trying to hype that up. I like Jacob Fatu, but him in the ring with Roman, like, that doesn't excite me too much yet, you know? Like, I don't feel like he's done enough to be in that kind of position. But, yeah, I mean, in comparison to Solo, he's way better than Solo.
Yeah, I mean, the spots where he's on top of the cage and he's jumping off of it on top of Cody and everything. I like Jacob Fatu a lot. I just like how he just gets into everything. He's high flyer, and he's kind of a bigger dude, too. So the way that he moves in the ring excites me. I don't know how well he is on the mic. That hasn't came. I don't think he's probably not any good. I'm sure that he's probably not any good on it. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't really said much. Exactly. So probably for a reason. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely way more athletic than Solo. He's got a better look. I mean, he might be better in Solo across the board every way. And which sucks for Solo, because they've spent all this time building him up, and Jacob Fatu's been here for a couple months, and he's just overshadowing him big time.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing is, I do like how Cody is being a fighting champ. I like how he's defending it a lot. I don't know if it's a problem with booking. Like, why is there no story builds up for his matches?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, even like I said, like, he's not even defending the title at Bad Blood. I don't know what they're doing with the creative with Cody, but it's not doing him any favors.
Right. I wish he's the only story that they've had with him is the Bloodline. Everything else is just not, they don't take any time to build it up. They don't do anything else towards him. They just throw him in. Oh, let's throw Kevin Owens in with a match with them. Let's just throw somebody else random in with a match. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they just need placeholders right now. You know, maybe until The Rock comes back, maybe that's what it's all about. And they didn't really map out the 6 months to a year until The Rock is back. But I don't know, man. I don't like that. I don't like, even with Jacob Fatu and Solo, the one thing I didn't like is, they're standing outside the cage while Cody and Roman are beating up Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga. If you want to go fight them so bad, go. They're standing right there. And then later on, it's the same exact thing. They beat those two dummies down again while those two just stand there. Like, if they're pushing for this match so bad, then go do it. Go fight them.
Exactly. I thought another thing was funny, too, is after the match, they're all climbing the cage, and I'm like, just go out the door, Cody. Yeah. Like, why didn't he just go out the door?
Yeah, right.
He just left the fight. But I just thought that was a little funny as well. So it's a clear view, I think, that after Bad Blood, they're probably going towards the Bloodline Civil War type deal. You think Cody's a part of that as well? Or
kind of seems that way, which I think would be a massive mistake. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm worried about right now. But at the same time, there is still the Saudi show in between Bad Blood and Survivor Series. So hopefully Cody just transitions out of that story by then. Seems unlikely, though.
Yeah. I hope that, I don't know if we'll get it or not, but I would really hope Randy Orton can get into that title match with Cody.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that he's like too over? He's just in the legend status where there's no way for him to turn heel. It's just everybody's going to love him no matter what. Or is there a chance you think that he can potentially turn heel and have heel Orton versus Cody?
I think that they should and probably will turn Orton heel. Yeah, I mean, that is part of the issue, is we all love him so much. So it will be kind of hard to present him as a heel. But, I mean, Cody needs the challengers. So they might just do it just because of that, honestly.
Right. Still speaking on the blood, when do we see Paul Heyman or Jimmy Uso? Like, when do we see them return?
I don't know. I mean, I thought we were going to get Jimmy Uso tonight, to be honest. So, I don't know. I guess maybe we'll see Jimmy at Bad Blood. I don't know when Heyman's going to fit back into this.
I think he'd be perfect to come back. It'd just be a great story with him coming back and everything. The way that Solo and them treated him, and then now Roman's back, and it just makes sense. And now, and they're just waiting so long. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Yeah, no, me either. And I actually saw today WWE signed Armando Estrada to a Legends deal. If you remember him, that was Umaga's manager.
Oh, okay.
So if they want to put him with Solo in that squad, I would be down with that. And then hopefully get some promo battles with Armando versus Paul Heyman.
Yeah, that'd be really fun.
But we need to get Heyman back on. I mean, that powerbomb was months ago at this point. I think he's good to come back.
I agree.
I mean, anything else you got on the Bloodline stuff?
So nothing really. That was basically what I wanted to cover with that. I wanted to just a couple things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that pretty much covers it all. I think a lot of this was they squeezed it into one episode because Roman's part-timing. But I think in a normal situation that this would have been spread out. But, yeah, I mean, let's move off of those guys. What do you want to talk next?
Let's go into Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on that match?
I mean, these two put on good matches together, so I have no issue with that. I think after five matches, it's time to separate them. Obviously, Andrade is challenging for the U.S. title next week now. That's confirmed, so hopefully Carmelo doesn't just screw him there, and then we continue going with those guys. I'm ready for them to each move in a different direction.
Yeah, I agree. They have had five matches. But it seems like every time they're in a match is always a great match. This match, no different than the rest. I was okay with either of these guys winning. I'm looking forward to seeing Andrade versus LA Knight. I wouldn't be too upset if Andrade wins. I don't think that he's going to, but I think Andrade's put on great matches and I think he deserves the match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm good with this match. I kind of wish it was extended out to Bad Blood or more than just a week. You know, like I don't really like that Andrade's just ended the feud with Carmelo and then immediately is transitioning and getting the title shot next week. I wish there was a little more build between Andrade and Carmelo or Andrade and LA Knight. I think that would suit their match better to have a couple weeks of build.
Right. I see. That seems like to be the problem a lot right now with the story. There's just not a lot of storytelling and no build up to matches. It's just always, they're just throwing these people into these matches so quick that there's no excitement to it when it actually gets there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're rushing a lot of these. You know, there's no reason to rush this. And there's no reason that this match shouldn't be on Bad Blood either. So, I don't know why they're doing it.
Me either. What did you think of the promo with Nia Bailey and Tiffany and Naomi?
I mean, good stakes on a match next week. Not bad promo. I'm not exactly sure who I think's gonna get the pin. You know, obviously there's stakes either way, depending on who gets the pin. Right now, my early lean would probably be Bailey gets it. And then we run back Bailey versus Nia. But I don't know. I wouldn't rule out Naomi winning. I don't think that they're going to lose and one of them is going to have to go to Raw. I certainly don't think that's what's happening.
Right. Yeah, I think I was a little confused at first when they announced when she was saying, if one of you guys beat us, I didn't understand that at first. I was like, is it a tag match? Is it a one-on-one? Like they're both single matches. But they obviously confirmed that, like made it more clear later on. And I wasn't sure at first, but I think it's, I mean, Bailey is the one that pins probably Tiffany.
Yeah, yeah, because then Nia can blame Tiffany. Right. So that works there. And honestly, I wouldn't rule out Naomi turning heel, you know, down the road here. I could see, like, even when Nia and Tiffany have the backstage segment with Jade and Bianca, you know, they're kind of like, oh, why didn't you help Naomi? So I could see Naomi having that be a part of her story, you know, going forward. Those two didn't back her up, even though she's backed them up countless times. And then even Bayley taking her opportunity. I think that this is all probably leading towards her turning heel.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So assuming that Bayley or Naomi wins, right, pins the other one, do you think that there's a possible cash in with Tiffany at Bad Blood? Or
I don't think yet, but I don't know. I mean, because they kind of already teased Nia and Tiffany going after the tag titles now, so I think that they'll at least challenge for that before we get to that point. And honestly, I wouldn't rule out them even winning the tag titles and kind of having a short run. But yeah, I think we're still quite a bit of time away from her cashing in.
Gotcha. The you can tell that there is tension built, but they are building a good story, I think, between Tiffany and Nia. Tiffany comes out and says, oh, I would have won if Nia didn't get the win.
Mm-hmm.
And then made that was a little mind game that Bayley was playing, but it still added a little bit of tension there that you could tell.
Yeah, they each have, you know, resentment towards each other and reason to blame. And I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see this play out for months. I don't want to see this get rushed, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing, too, is Kevin Owens, mystery partner, him versus A-Town Down Under. What'd you think when Ricky came out?
I thought it was going to be another, like, James Ellsworth type character. Yeah. I thought he was actually going to be the tag partner. And I was like, this guy is not it at all. He's got his hair all over. He's got back hair, chest hair. It's just not a good look. And then it added a little comedy to the show. And then obviously Orton came out, which got a huge pop. Finally back on SmackDown after challenging Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have been against Ricky wrestling. I would have been okay with that, you know, but Orton's probably better. I think I still kind of think Orton and Owens are going to end up winning the tag titles at some point. That's kind of the direction I could see that going, especially because they've had their run-ins with the Bloodline. So them keeping them together as a tag team, I think that's probably where they're going with that. But yeah, I wasn't super surprised when Orton was the one to come. I mean, that's kind of who I was expecting just because of the tag team history those two have had over the last few weeks and months. But yeah, I mean, Ricky coming, that was a good little comedic element to this match.
Yeah, I thought this match was more like for the crowd type deal with it being the new show and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awesome. I mean, I always love watching Orton, love watching Kevin Owens. I think A-Town Down Under they're on the verge of splitting up here pretty soon. I think one of them is definitely turning. I just don't know when and what the time frame looks like for that.
Yeah, I mean, should be soon with just how much they've been building it up. These guys aren't picking up any wins since they've lost the tag title, so I could see that being pretty soon. I think, I mean, this is one problem I have with Triple H. I think he drags stuff out a little too far sometimes. So I would like to see this one kind of happen sooner rather than later, just because I feel like this one's been brewing for a little bit now.
How do you feel about Grayson Waller?
I think he was really picking up steam until they put him in a tag team with Theory. I was a big fan of, you know, the Waller effect. And I mean, I think he needs to lose the shorts. I don't think you're ever going to be WWE champion running around in those shorts. But other than that, no, I like him. I think he's good in the ring and he's good on the mic. But this tag team really has halted his momentum.
Yeah, I agree. I do like him a lot, too. He's a great heel. He definitely adds in that kind of that spice that you like and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see Theory as a face. That's what I'm more worried about with the split is, you know, sink or swim with him.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how he is going to be faced. I mean, it'd be the first time we would see him face, assuming that he does. He's the one that does turn face. Because, I mean, he's been healed his entire WWE career so far, right?
Yeah, yeah.
On the main roster, not on NXT. I don't know how that
right. Was. Yeah, yeah. No, he's been healed ever since he's been on the main roster. So it'll probably be a good switch up for him. He needs it. He needs it because he's been struggling too lately.
Yeah. I feel like his sets is more of a face moveset anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree. I mean, he's got cool, flashy moves, you know. And honestly, I don't know. He just never really got over as a heel anyways. You know, like it didn't feel genuine. It kind of just felt like he's been playing a character the whole time.
Right. Yeah, great. And the thing about Grayson Waller, too, is that he does give me, like, the Miz vibes.
Yeah.
Type deal. And we both know the Miz is one of the – I think it's going to be a future Hall of Famer, so.
Yeah. Which guy you think wins a world title first, Waller or Theory?
I would say I think Waller because I don't know how – I've never been really a fan of Theory anyway. I don't think he's been – I don't think the crowd's been over on him at all, ever. I mean, even when he was the U.S. title, U.S. champion, I just don't think that he's. But who knows? If he turns face, he might turn out to be great. It might, but I think Grayson Waller would become champion for it.
Yeah, yeah. I think Waller would be a great guy to carry the Money in the Bank. So, yeah. You know, like I think that's sitting right there for him. And I am kind of pessimistic on Theory being face, but I'm gonna give it a fair chance, but I don't really see him as world champ right now, honestly. Like it seemed like he was destined for it, you know, a couple years ago, but ever since then I just think he might never get it.
Yeah, and he seems like a great mid-card type person. Throw in here and there. He just doesn't have it for me yet.
No, me either. And he's still young. He's still in his 20s, so he's got a lot of time to develop, but I do think he's far from it right now.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to wrap up with talking about the new theme, the new logo, all the changes they made since tonight was the first night on USA for SmackDown?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of liked it, not going to lie. I didn't mind it. It seems more vibrant. More, not plain, but like kind of basic almost. But I mean, I kind of going against the vibrant thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it. I think it's new. I do like change, and the overlay is pretty nice. I like that a lot more than the old one. But yeah, entirely. I think it's good. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think that it was all good changes other than the theme. Megan Thee Stallion sings the theme. I don't really want Megan Thee Stallion singing pro wrestling theme songs. But other than that, yeah, I like it. I like the new logo. I think the colors mesh well. The SD logo fits well. So I thought it was cool.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, so I'll wrap up here. We just want to thank everyone for listening. Please like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw review.